Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Well, today we want to come to the fourth of the final words spoken by the Apostle Paul, or written by the Apostle Paul, in the closing verses of the 1 Corinthian epistle. His closing words are found in the last three verses, 22, 23, and 24, which say, "If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. O Lord, come. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all. In Christ Jesus. Amen." Well, there you have it. The four closing three verses and the four categories of statements that Paul makes in these closing verses. And what are they? We've now covered three of the four. First, a warning. If anyone does not love the Lord, let him be accursed. Wow. Let him be accursed. Let him be damned. Number two, a prayer. Maranatha, O Lord come, or our Lord come. There are various ways that that could be translated. A short prayer, an energetic prayer, an exuberant prayer for the Lord to come. Longing for his return, praying for his return. Thy kingdom come. Maranatha, O Lord come. A prayer. The third statement is a benediction. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Similar to the benedictions that close all of Paul's epistles. We talked about that yesterday. All of them include grace as the central feature of the benediction, praying God's grace upon the people in this closing word. But in the Corinthian epistle, there's something that follows, which, this first Corinthian epistle, there's something that follows which is unique. And that's what we're going to be looking at on the broadcast today. Thank you for joining me on this Thursday, August 18. Many thanks for those whose financial gifts keep us teaching on this station. So, number one, a warning. Number two, a prayer. Number three, a benediction. But number four, an affirmation. The last words of the epistle are, "My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen." My love. Here, the love is the Greek word agape, that we might say the strongest, highest form of love, though there will be some conversation and interaction, and we might say debate on exactly how much difference we should make between the Greek word agapao and the Greek word phileo, but they are different words, and they do, if no other reason than in the context in which they're found, you will find different connotations to them. And agapao is the one that is almost always used of God's love, for God so loved the world that he gave. And that's the word that Paul uses here, "My love be with you all in Christ Jesus." This is unusual. In fact, it is unique. Sometimes we use the word unique improperly as if it means unusual, but it actually means one of a kind. Not just simply something that is somewhat unusual, but something that is totally unique. There's not another one anywhere, and that's true of this particular statement, this affirmation of Paul's love to them. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. After pronouncing God's grace upon them, in verse 23, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, Paul follows it up with this personal statement of his love. My love be with you in Christ Jesus. Amen. Why that affirmation of Paul's love here when you don't find it in any of the other 12 epistles of Paul? That's the question. The answer is nobody on earth knows, because the Bible doesn't tell us why. It's good to ask. It's good to ask questions like that to make us think about them. But if the answer isn't given, we can't give a dogmatic answer. We cannot give an answer that says this is the answer to the question. But we can give possible answers to the question, which might be helpful in enabling us to think this through, forcing us in some ways to think this through. Why did Paul follow up his benediction with his personal affirmation of his love here when he didn't do that anywhere else? Well, I think it may be because of the stern warning in verse 22 that is also unique. You don't find anything else like that in any of Paul's closing words. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be damned. Let him be anathema. We don't have anything like that in any of Paul's closing statements. I showed you anathema language in the first chapter of Galatians, but you don't find that in the close of that epistle or in any of the other Paul's epistles. So we've got two things that are unique here in this close. We've got this unique warning that is strong and stern and troubling, frightening, but serves a very valuable purpose and ought to cause us to think seriously about our relationship to the Lord, that it be a genuine, true faith relationship, true love relationship, not simply a mere casual profession of faith that is not a reflection of a regenerated heart. That's dangerous, to trifle with Christ in that way, and to trifle with the gospel, to trifle with your identification with Christ in the gospel, in pretending something that is not true. That is very dangerous. That's a strong and stern warning. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. And with that strong warning that is unique to this epistle, we also have this strong affirmation of love, which is very encouraging and unique to this epistle. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. So yes, it is a unique affirmation, closing affirmation. Paul expresses and affirms his love in other places, but not in this closing way, not following the benediction, which is usually the final word. But in this case, it is not. The benediction is given, and then one more word before we can close. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. It is unique. It is encouraging after that stern warning, and that ought to be taken seriously. Nevertheless, perhaps an encouraging word affirming Paul's love for them would be helpful to counterbalance the weight of that stern warning. Because, no doubt, and I'm going to speculate, because the Bible doesn't give us this information as to why Paul did this. But as a pastor, I know that many times the stern warnings are taken seriously by the wrong people, at least the ones that I would not want to take it. In other words, the most sincere Christians are the ones who are often troubled by stern warnings like this. Oh dear, is this me? Do I not really love the Lord Jesus Christ? Is this pronouncement of judgment falling upon me? And many times this is the concern of the most sincere, humble, and truly believing saints, whereas the ones who need to heed the warning often just let it go in one ear and out the other. They pay it no attention at all. And they're the ones that it's directed to, and they're the ones that it's designed to help and to shake out of their complacency and show them their need, because they're the ones that are lacking true love to the Lord Jesus Christ and are in danger of damnation. But because it is often the most humble and tender saints who are shaken by such warnings, it's therefore helpful to come behind that with something like this. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. That'll help soothe the troubled waters. That'll help minister to the shaken hearts of genuine believers. And so this statement, this affirmation of Paul's love is a wonderful statement. It's exemplary. It shows that Paul practices the love he preaches. What do we find in 1 Corinthians, that great love chapter, chapter 13, the greatest discourse on love to be found anywhere in the Bible? That's what Paul preached about love. Now we see that he practices it as well. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. He loves those, even whom he rebukes and corrects, because he rebukes in love. He loves those, even those who have opposed him in his work. There's no malice in his heart toward them. Because he loves like Christ loves. He loves like Christians love. Christians love because we have been graciously and greatly loved. Christians can love others with this agape love. This love that does not require anything in return, it's simply graciously bestowed. We can love that way because that's the way we have been loved. And having been loved so graciously by God, we are enabled and taught by God to graciously love others. And that's what we see Paul doing here. Well, we're done with 1 Corinthians, just a word or two in closing, and the minute or two that remains. In these closing words, we are reminded of the danger of counterfeit Christianity and that stern warning. This warning that is directed toward an assembly of professing believers, but there is counterfeit Christianity among genuine believers. Guard your heart, examine your heart. There are those in every church who have not been born again, who have not experienced the new birth, and who are in danger of hardening their hearts fatally. Wake up. Wake up. Cry out to Christ for mercy. Don't let this warning fall upon you, that if anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Let that not be you, I pray. But if we see the danger of counterfeit Christianity in these closing words, we also see the centrality of grace. Grace in the benediction. Grace in the affirmation of Paul's love to all of those in the church, even those who weren't behaving the way they ought to. But he graciously loves, not based upon their performance, but upon Christian love. Because God loves us not based upon our performance, but upon his great love. And so the centrality of grace, this unmerited favor, that wounds our pride. We'd like to think that we deserve it. We merited it. No, 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 no. And if you think so, you don't have it. If you think so, you can't have it. It's bestowed upon those who acknowledge they're unworthy of it. And so it is sovereignly bestowed without obligation. God has mercy on whom he wills. And that grace results in humility and surrender. It results in love and devotion to Christ and to others. And that's what we find in the closing of this great epistle. We'll start a new study on the broadcast tomorrow. Until then, please join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.